Psalm 19 is God's glory in creation and the law. A psalm of David. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteousness altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect the errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So we pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We live in a wonderful world. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. God's creation. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And rather than scanning the internet to find some fantastic pictures of creation, I thought I would go into my own store of photos 45 years ago, the hills of southwest Uganda. And I'm sure you could also show many pictures that you've seen of the wonders of God's creation. The Nile, watching the the wildlife on the River Nile. And these were taken about, that was 48 years ago, on the banks of the River Nile. The wonders of God's creation. But not only the big things, also the smaller things near at hand. The beauty of snow. And even now, these days, this was taken last week in the churchyard, the wonder of on the small things of the bulbs coming up fresh. And then on the other end of the scale, the heavens, the heavens declare the glory of God. We live in a wonderful world, and we've just been singing, creation sings the Father's song. Well, people in Old Testament times used to marvel at creation and their own weakness, and so that naturally led to praising of God. But these days, people don't turn to God when they marvel at creation, but then they think how wonderful we can be in caring, in organizing it and using it. And so we easily deify man rather than creation. But it's important that we look at creation as Christians. Why should we care about creation? It's a good question after all. Aren't people more important than nature? Isn't earth care just a liberal political issue? Shouldn't we be more concerned about other causes? Well, if we look at the scripture again and again, we see reasons that we should care and look after God's creation. Why should we care about creation? First of all, we should care about creation because it brings glory to God. As we've just sung and as we've heard, creation sings the Father's song. God created the world and he said it was very good. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, Psalm 96. So throughout the scriptures we see the whole creation is actually praising God, in whether it's the fields, the trees, the heavens, the seas, the sun, the moon, and so on, are praising God just by what they are. And if these parts of nature bring glory to God, then who are we to carelessly destroy them? Why care? Because caring for God's creation means caring for that which brings him praise and worship. And secondly, we care about creation because doing so helps other people. The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbour as yourself. Many of the world problems today are actually caused or made worse by environmental issues. Polluted drinking water being a major cause of disease, respiratory problems, birth defects, and other health issues. Poor irrigation methods and changing climate conditions and deforestation can all lead to reduced crop yields, global poverty, hunger, and even causing fighting because of lack of food, lack of resources. Deforestation leads to erosion and poor crop production and so on. The list goes on and on. And the bottom line is that caring for God's creation produces positive results for people. But on the other hand, neglecting our call to care for creation directly contributes to human suffering. And as we know, we might be fine here, but there are many parts of the world who are suffering much more as a result of global warming. So why care for God's creation? Secondly, because God calls us to put the needs of others before our own needs. And thirdly, environmental issues are ethical issues and provide an opportunity to draw others towards God. The way that we treat the earth reflects our values. For example, has God given animals an inherent value, or are they merely the sources for us to use? Is it right for us to use up the entire world's supply of non-renewable resources in just a few centuries, leaving none for future generations? Am I acting rightly towards my neighbour if my actions cause his or her quality of life to be decreased in order to maintain my own standard of living? These are ethical questions that directly correspond to environmental issues. And like it or not, the church Christians have a voice, but our voice is much stronger if we are seen to be caring for creation. If we don't care for creation, why should other people listen to our voice on other issues as well? Why care? Because as Christians, we aim to do what is right and wish to point others to God through our actions, being Christ to a needy world. And fourth, which perhaps should have been first, but I put it last because it's obvious. Fourth, we should care because God told us to. One of the first commandments in Scripture is to tend and keep the garden. And over and over throughout the Scripture, our role as stewards of God's creation is clear. In creating us in His image, God gave us a great privilege and a great responsibility. Why care? Because God's word calls us to care. But what is the world we're in? What is it like? According to NASA, in 2017, stands as the second warmest year since record keeping began in 1880. Global warming. And that has caused all sorts of things. First of all, we can see it in the melting of the glaciers. An example of a glacier in 1941 and then today. The melting of the glaciers, the reduction of the ice cap at the poles. There's so much that we could say. Extreme weather conditions. Many of them don't affect us. They seem to be a long way away. But some of them do affect us. Floods. Or fires, extreme weather conditions, or drought. And then there's the pollution. Polluted by single-use plastic. Pollution. And then what about all our waste resources? There's been a lot in the news about pollution, and especially recently about waste resources and what whether China accepts our waste plastic, where we want to recycle, but we're sending it, much of what we recycle, we're sending it overseas. We need to use less and be careful what we use, as well as recycling. The signature, climate change, severe flooding, rise of sea level, tropical cyclones, increase in surface temperature, storms, major wildfires. This is the world we're in, and a lot of it is caused by the way mankind has been behaving. And it tends to be those in the developed world who are using up the resources and causing problem for so many people and for our children in the future. If you go to the Eden Project in Devon, was it Cornwall, down there anyhow, you will see this sculpture. And this is, they call it Wee Man. Wee Man was made from the waste electrical and electronic equipment that an average British person throws away in their lifetime. Over 3 tons per person. So we live in a society when something breaks, you often can't repair it. So you throw it away. And that's what we do all the time. But that's the society we're in, and that's the society we've created. A monster which is destroying the world. What are we going to do about it? Well, there are some signs of hope. Yes, Theresa May did say that she would try to eliminate plastic waste by 2040. Isn't this too little or too late? There's things are happening. We see far, far more in the media these days, more awareness of the way we're damaging our planet, particularly about waste. And there's a great interest in, sorry, there was another one, I think that one, in renewable energy, increasing use of renewable sources for energy, so rather than burning fossil fuels. Yes, signs of hope, but they're all very small. And it's something we need to catch on and do more about. So, what are we doing? And why are we talking about it today? We call today Creation Sunday so that we give our thoughts to how we care for creation. And what there are two directions we want to go now. One is, what are we doing as Christians at the church? And the other is, what are we doing individually? And as a church, we have joined the Eco-Church group, which is something organized by Arusha. And Arusha is a Christian environmental organization. And we've signed up as members of this Eco-Church group. And just to explain a bit about this, there's a survey which you can find on the internet. If you Google Eco-Church, it'll come up with this. And there are five sections. And I want to explain a bit more about that, and that's what we're trying to develop. First of all, worship and teaching. And for example, special Sundays relating to caring for God's earth are celebrated in our church. Answer, at least annually, less often or never. Well, at least annually, which is why we're doing it today. A special Sunday to look at how we care for God's creation. And there are 10 questions there, but I just gave you one. Then we come to buildings, and there are 26 questions. For example, the electricity supplied to our building is generated from renewable resources and or charged according to our supplier's green tariff. Answer, yes, no, or need to find out. And so you fill this in, and I think the answer is no at the moment, but I hope it will change to yes later. Because it's important that we do our part, having renewable sources of energy. The vast majority of climate scientists advise that current carbon emissions must be cut worldwide by 80% just to restore the world's balance. How are we participating in this? And then, as I said, there are 26 questions about the buildings. And then we come on to land. We have a churchyard. What are we doing? How are we using that to care for God's creation? And there are 6 questions. For example, the land at our church is managed for the encouragement of native wildlife and plants. Answer, yes, no, or need to find out. And we're working on this. And recently, a warden from the Gloucestershire Wildlife Trust came with some of our members from our our eco group, and had a look at the churchyard. I've done a report, which has gone to the PCC. So how can we care for the churchyard, and so it encourages native wildlife and plants? And then we go on to communication and global. 25 questions. For example, our church arranges for local environmentalists to speak at our services, at least annually, less often, or never. Well, if you were 2 years ago in the Garden Centre, we had Sir Gillian Prance was talking about the environment, and a lot of people were there. It was part of our mission, and some of us who were there thought, we've got to do something. And so it's really as a response from that we set up this eco-church group, and we're gradually working on it. And also, another thing we did was the toilet winning. So we had a publicity about this just before Christmas, and as a result of that, our 2 toilets in the church cottage are twinned, and if you go into those toilets, you'll see the certificate there. And if you don't know about toilet twinning, then I can tell you more about it afterwards, or look up the website, and on your green sheet of paper, there's details of the website for toilet twinning. And then lifestyle. And this is where it comes to each one of us. And you will all have had a copy of this sheet here. Just a few suggestions. The green sheet. We all want to care for God's creation. Here are some simple tips to help you. You're probably doing many of them already, but encouraging you to do more, playing our part in looking after God's creation. And if you want to find out a bit more, well, there are lots of references to websites there, or if you're not into that, or you'd like to, there's some magazines called The Clean Slate, which I subscribe to, and they've got some past copies of it are on the chest at the back. Do take one and keep it or pass it around to help you to be aware of some of the things that are being talked about and how we can care for God's creation. So, sorry, that's the toilet twiddy. I messed that up. That's a copy of what's in the toilet. This toilet has been twinned by St. Lawrence Church Letchlade, and at the bottom it says how many, 1 in 3 people worldwide don't have a loo. By supporting toilet twinning, you're helping to flush away poverty. And so this goes to help to build a toilet somewhere else. And the churchyard, which this section of the garden has been set aside for the preservation of God's wild creation. So we're working on that and seeing how we can care and make that more economic, eco-friendly in the churchyard. So, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Sorry, oh, forget it. So only a repeat of one of the ones about the... Okay, that's right. God saw all he had made, and it was very good. The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. So may we all play our part in caring for God's wonderful creation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
David, thank you so much indeed. David, can you stay at the back of church if anybody wants to talk to you about the Eco Group? It's also great to see other members of the Eco Group here as well with us this morning, so thank you very much for all that you're doing. We are discussing this as a church, and we can expect to see more advances upon that group later on in the year. So David, thank you very much indeed.